they'll even say that when they use this process, they're able to win the project even if their fees are double or triple the competing architects, which I think is pretty remarkable.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
All right, we're excited to be back from the National AIA Convention where we met so many great people face-to-face, and the art of construction has really blown up, and it was so fun to put some faces to the people that we've been meeting and talking through. We really like each other, but Kevin and I have been looking at each other enough in Studio MVWD. So the Art of Construction went out to the National Convention in Philadelphia for the AIA show and had the pleasure to meet Enoch Sears, who we're going to dive in and have a chat with. The bio about from Enoch Sears is he's a California-based architect. He is also the creator and the host of the number one interview podcast for architects, The Business of Architecture Show, where guests like M. Arthur Gensler, founder of Gensler, and others share tips and strategies for success in architecture. It didn't say contractors and architects. That's the designation and the difference between the art of construction and his podcast, which is really fun to be meeting these other hosts. And I'm excited to dive in and have a chat and have him as a guest instead of a host and collaborate on growing our business, which both of our podcasts are very passionate about that for the architect field.
Well, I'm excited to hear what Enoch has to say. We had an opportunity to meet him briefly in Philadelphia, and he has an amazing amount of passion for the architecture business. And I'm also looking forward to hearing more about his Architects Marketing Institute, which I think is fascinating. He's got a lot of great information there to provide architects to help grow their business. So I think he'll touch on that a little bit, too.
Yeah, so let's dive in and have a chat with Enoch. And then at the end, Kevin and I will give you our 2 cents, what we saw from touring the show and spending time with people at the AIA convention.
Here we go.
What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage is water, Devin. That's a simple answer. Nothing too fancy. You know, leave out the additives. Good old water.
We have a lot of healthy. We have a lot of healthy people in the Studio MBWD, so a lot of them do say water.
Water's actually popular.
I would definitely say a beer, depending on the flavor, depending on the time of the day. But after we work hard and here on the Art of Construction, so what's a favorite place you've traveled?
I would say favorite place. My favorite place to travel frequently is probably Hawaii, but the favorite place I've ever been, it has to be Rio de Janeiro. It's an incredible city, and it has some spectacular geography and culture. So it would definitely have to be Rio.
Awesome. Tell us one experience from that trip.
All right. Me and my buddy stayed in a very cheap, this was back in college, me and my buddy stayed in a very cheap little hotel right on the Copacabana beach, which is, you know, that there's that song. Dun, dun, da, 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 dun, dun, da, da, da. Is that Frank Sinatra? I don't know.
Attaboy.
Nice.
Yeah, we're sitting down and we're eating this amazing meal. And at the time, the exchange rate was crazy. It was like 14 reais, which was the currency at the time, to one American dollar. So for like $20, we had this buffet meal, amazing Brazilian food. We'd just gotten out of that, and we're living on top of the world. We're college students, you know, we're used to living, you know, basically in our cars. And so as we're walking out of this restaurant, literally there's this naked guy that's just walking down the street. And, I mean, completely butt naked. I mean, everything's hanging out and leaving nothing to the imagination. And people are kind of, even in Rio, this is weird. So people are kind of pointing and laughing, and they're calling out in Portuguese, you know, naked guy or whatever. And this guy looks around like he doesn't realize he's naked. And he just starts running down the street. And me and my buddy, we just start racking up. He's like, he's streaking, you know.
That's
like,
great.
Man, only in Rio. I mean, there was a lot. I could go more into that. That's a good one, I guess.
Well done. What's your favorite interest when you're not in the world of architecture?
My favorite interest is my family. So very family focused. I have 6 beautiful kids, a wonderful wife, been married for 13 years now, going on 14, something close to that. So that's a primary interest. And in addition to that, I really enjoy sailing. So I do as much sailing as I can.
Well, fantastic. So on the introduction, we talked through us meeting at the AIA show, and we're really excited, and we're moving this to the front of the line from the AIA show because we want to get the story out as the energy is hot, and it was so fun to be part of the National AIA show in Philly. And we wanted to talk through in Studio MVWD about your Architect Marketing Institute. And we've had guests in the past that it's fun how we've really met a lot of people like Mark LePage through the Entree Architect or Todd Redding, who is on with the Charette Venture Group. And they're a much more of an investor firm. Tell us about what you do and the Architect Marketing Institute.
Sure. So, I started the Architect Marketing Institute a while ago with a couple partners, and we have hundreds of members all over the world. But the purpose of the Architect Marketing Institute is to raise the level, to raise the visibility of architects, and to help architects win more of the kind of products that they want to work on. So with the Institute, basically, it's an opportunity. Architects can join the Institute. They can get resources to help them grow their firms and to be able to build those kind of relationships that lead to the kind of work they want. Because we really saw a gap in the market that there wasn't any other organization that was serving architects specifically on business development. So right now, there is one organization out there for marketing professional services, but it covers all professional services, and it's primarily for marketers. It's not for architects, right? And so you and I know that, look, if you're a contractor, that's different than if you're an architect or if you're a chiropractor. So that's what we do in the Institute. And anyone who wants to get more information on that, just go to archmarketing.org, because we always have a free download on there. I don't know which one we'll have up when someone visits the page, but one thing that we give away is, the 10 top ways for architects to land new clients, and they can go get that at Arch. It's archmarketing.org. So that's just a little background on what that association does. It's an honor for me to be a part of that, because it's not just me. There's other architects who are a part of that, and all together we work together. We share information on what's working to help architects, like I said, just win more of the projects that are going to get them excited and help them leave the kind of legacy that they want to leave.
Hello.
Hi. I've been listening to The Art of Construction, and I noticed you guys have no sponsors. Why is that?
Well, thanks for the call. We do actually have a sponsor. It's Mountain View Window and Doors, our sole sponsor to run this great podcast. But we're always looking for quality companies that might have an interest in our audience of great architects and contractors.
So how could I become a sponsor for you?
Well, that's simple. This is Devin Tilley here, and the background of this is we are very specific about creating this show that we don't want it to be a whole bunch of me, blah, 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 wah, 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 wah. This is all about you contractors and architects growing your business, and we're not going to fake it till we make it. This wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Mountain View Window and Door. The studio is in the best showroom in the nation, awarded by Anderson Windows and Doors out of Denver, Colorado. But The Art of Construction is its own standalone platform that is now on its own website, www.theartofconstruction.net. And we are looking for the best advertiser, and we're not going to just settle for anybody. This is like Mountain View Window and Door, only the best that makes sense. And if you want to be part of that, reach out to us on theartofconstruction.net on the message board, and we'll run it through to the department and see if it's a good fit. So we look forward to talking to you, but we're going to guarantee you, contractors and architects, this is not an advertisement or a plug. This is all about you to grow your business. Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your background of how you can relate to architects who this show is specifically designed for, contractors and architects, to grow their business.
Sure. Well, I graduated from architecture school back in 2002, studied at Cornell University, which is in upstate New York, and went full-fledged, all starry-eyed into the practice of architecture. And I'd been working for 6 or 7 years, and then I got the opportunity to go down to Panama, Central America, and basically have my dream job. I mean, we were doing awesome designs, having lots of fun, computer rendering. So as an architect, a lot of times, most architects I speak to, we kind of like to do the design part. We like to do that 5 to 10% up front, because that's where a lot of the creativity happens. And so that's what I was doing for that entire year. Of course, at the end of that year, about 2007, the recession hit. All of us are probably familiar with that story. I was laid off, and I decided at that time, because of what I'd seen in that last year, I got to really see, Devin, I got to see how business works. And it was the first time I really understood that there was something majorly drastic that had been missing from my education. And I almost felt, I hate to say it, but I almost felt gypped a little bit. I almost felt like there was some secret out there that someone had not told me. And I was wondering why I'd paid so much to go to school and no one had ever told me really what it takes to make money. And I discovered that, well, you know what? Money is what the world runs on. And if you're an idealistic architect who just cares about creating beautiful projects, you know, you're probably not going to make a whole lot of it. And that was fine for about 10 years. But after about 10 years and six kids, I decided, you know what, I really want to start making some money. So that's how the podcast started up. I started researching what it takes to run a successful business. And I've never looked back. And it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, talking to you, Kevin, and talking to you, Devin, when we met at the AI convention, you know, one thing I picked up from both you guys is that you guys get the business side of things. You know, Devin, you're obviously an entrepreneur. You came in, purchased this business. Kevin, I know you're in marketing and sales. So I feel like when I'm talking to you, we're kind of speaking the same language.
No, exactly. And I was curious about your podcast. It's titled The Business of Architecture, correct?
That is right. Yep.
And is that integrated into all the services you provide, or are they separate and distinct? Or
well, the Business of Architecture podcast, it's a platform. It's an opportunity for me to share. And it's not me specifically sharing. On that particular show, I act as the interviewer. So you won't hear a lot of Enoch's thoughts. What you'll hear is my guest thoughts that come in. And just like you guys are doing right now, I'll interview them where they can share their lessons learned, you know, some of the most challenging things that they've had to do as they've grown their businesses. I've had some big names on there like Art Gensler, you know, is the founder of Gensler, and Tom Main of Morphosis. But it's not just big name architects, because it's not all about just architects. I mean, I've had architects on there who no one's probably ever heard of, and yet they have incredible stories. I've had contractors on there, I've had sales professionals on there. So it's an interview show where I sit there and I'm the interviewer and I just kind of mine them for information. So, you know, the people that listen, they get the opportunity to hear what's working for people around the world, growing their business. But it is all business focused. It's not on how to design a great building. It's not on
right.
How to do a feasibility study. It's all about how to grow your income as an architect, and then also how to scale your business, grow it bigger into something that's really impactful.
Sounds like to me, if you got the Art of Construction or the Business of Architecture, you need to have both, because it's we are going to say the same concepts, but we all are going to run our shows and tell stories a little bit differently. And that's why I really wanted to have you on. And it's got to be kind of fun to be a guest on a podcast and doing more talking instead of the listening, right?
Absolutely.
I was just going to say, one of the most critical components of making money, you described the fact that, you know, you enjoyed the art of architecture and the creativity of architecture, but you reached a point where you wanted to make money. And quite honestly, one of the keys to making money is marketing, right? Everything we all do to make money at some level is marketing related. So talk a little bit about the marketing offerings and the kinds of tools that you can bring together to help architects make that money ultimately at the end of the day.
All right. Well, look, when we talk about marketing for architects, I really feel that marketing is a misnomer. I don't really like that word. I don't think it represents well what we do as people who are providing professional services, because selling architecture is about building and establishing relationships. And the reason why that is, if you think about the size of a architectural contract or the you know, contract to build a building, these are very, very high value, high investment type of services. It's very different from a widget. You might go down to your local grocery store and buy a banana. Right. There's not a whole lot of relationship that happens in going to the grocery store and buying a banana. I mean, there's a little bit, you know, the grocery store has to provide a good customer experience, but there's not as much at risk. Now, on the other side, you know, when you talk about buying windows or building a building, building a home, building something larger, or working with an architect, oftentimes you're talking tens of thousands of dollars. And, you know, frankly, you know, if you have that kind of budget, there's probably a lot of architects that will work for you as a client. But what you really want to find is you want to find a fit. You want to find someone whose personality is a match for what you're doing. And I like to say, look, put people over the project. And what that means is a lot of architects, when they get enamored by the project, they get enamored by the possibility to work on something that's really cool, even if that particular client or that particular person is not going to be a fit for them. And I'll almost guarantee you could talk to any architect out there, and he or she has at one time taken on a project that they thought was really cool, but they at the beginning they had this gut feel that the client, there's something off there. They just had a gut feeling in the pit of their stomach that, I don't know if I, you know, there's something off here. I'm not quite sure it'll work. It turned out to be a nightmare. And the reason why is because there wasn't a person-to-person fit. So going back to the marketing side of things, when we talk about marketing, architectural services, what we're really looking to do is really represent well who we are as people, and then communicate that to potential clients and communicate that to as many potential clients as possible. So that there's this filtering process, and you know, you do have to set up some marketing systems to make it happen. But if you have these systems in place in your business, then you'll have this level of awareness where people will know who you are. People who are interested in that image that you've projected will kind of draw themselves into your world, and then the most qualified people will actually, you'll end up working with them.
Now, that's great. We talk a lot in terms of systems and procedures and that kind of thing, and it's often overlooked in this industry, and it's really critical.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. You know, especially if you run a smaller firm, because if you have a larger firm, sometimes you might have the resources or the overhead to hire a lower level person to do a lot of this stuff manually. But my approach, having a technological background, is let's kind of use technology as much as we can to kind of automate and semi-automate some of this process. Because small firm architects, the challenge they have is they're so busy doing the work that they don't really have time to do the marketing and the business development. And that's where some of these new tools can help them out.
You know, I'm curious about one thing. You touched on the fact that the relationship building is critically important, and we couldn't agree more. But I am curious right now, when you have so many millennials in the architecture arena, and all they want to do is text and email, they don't want to pick up the phone and they don't want to talk. How in the world do you link those two, cross that bridge together with architecture firms out there that their primary, at least new recruits, are millennials that don't like to have human interaction?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily that millennials don't like to have human interaction. I get what you're saying, though, that the millennials or the younger generations are a lot more savvy with, you know, social media, you know, telephone, video conferencing and stuff like that. But even the architects I talk to who've been doing this for 30 or 40 years, a lot of them are kind of introverts too. They don't really like to pick up the phone. And frankly, it's going to be really hard to succeed as an architect unless you get over that. It doesn't mean you need to be a backslapper. It doesn't mean you need to be a glad hander, the talk of the party. Because I've met some architects that are very kind of serious, but at the same time, you know, they don't strike as real people, if that makes sense.
Right.
But they are very, very successful. And what it comes down to, I think, is sincerity and diligence. You know, if you're sincere and you just represent very clearly who you are and you're diligent, then that'll pay off. But yeah, I would caution any up and coming architect not to use online tools or technology tools to replace traditional relationship building, which is ultimately, you really got to get in front of someone's face. You got to sit down with them, break bread together with them, shake hands, talk to them, because that is the core of marketing. And that's sort of what I'm talking about when I say that, you know, you need to let people know who you are.
Love it.
That make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
That's great.
Yeah. Well explained. Really good job. Tell us about your 4-part architecture firm profit map.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So look, I started researching this, I mean, years and years ago, and going down this road and really trying to piece out, I really want to crack the nut of what does it take for a small firm architect to succeed? Okay. And I have developed this, I call it the 4-part architecture firm profit map. And based on what I've seen other firms do, I've been able to basically take that apart bit by bit and say, okay, here's the 4 areas. If you can master these 4 areas in your business, then you will have no problem with the kind of income you earn, working on the kind of products you want to work on, and having the time to do your hobbies or spend time with family. So what I figured here is that we could just throw these out. I'll throw these out one by one. And I would really like you guys to, I know you guys are sitting here as the interviewers, but I'd love to hear your perspective on this too and see how they relate to perhaps construction.
The tables have turned.
Heck yeah, man. So here's number one. Okay, I'm going to run through these. I'll throw them all out there, 1 through 4, and then we can talk about them one by one. First one is you need to develop a system to create demand for your services. Okay. Number 2, you need to have some sort of system to turn that demand into signed profitable contracts. Number 3, you need to have a system to deliver your services that you provide and scale your firm efficiently to free up your time. And then number 4, you need to have a system to measure and maintain accountability within the organization. So number 1 was a system to create demand for your services. And that kind of goes into what I talked about before. And I think that's partially what you guys are doing here on the podcast, which is excellent. It's an example of content marketing. You know, you're letting people, you're adding tremendous value to the marketplace that you want to serve. And because of that, people are, you know, they're building trust in you. They're saying, you know, these guys, you know, Devin and Kevin, they're giving me this good information. I'm going to go check out them and see what they do. They say they have the largest showroom of, you know, Anderson Windows, and they have the top showroom in the U.S. for windows. What are these guys about? Let me go check it out. So I think that's a really good example about creating demand for your services. Architects can do the same thing, and there's 10,001 ways to do that. So that's the first point, create demand for your services. And now I'm going to open it up for you guys about, let's have a little bit of conversation about that.
Well, I think it's great because, I mean, that's part of what we do in our business. We're always striving to generate interest, whether it's through our own website or house or whatever it may be to generate qualified leads. So that's something
almost,
we're working on all the time.
Yeah, and almost every show we're talking about is be really good at a few things and don't try to be everything to everybody. And you create demand by separating yourself from everybody. So don't say, I'm the architect, I can do anything for anybody. Is find your wheelhouse, is what you're good. Surround yourself around people that you like and trust. And I think that really helps create that demand. Because if you don't create demand, you're not going to have a business. And either you're growing or you're dying.
Yep. And I love what you said there, Devin, that you need to be able to separate out your target market. You just talked about that a little bit. You need to clearly identify who that is. And, you know, unfortunately, well, that's a whole nother topic. So I'm going to move on to number two here, okay? Because that's a deep rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, for that part, you can go back to both of our podcasts and listen to them from beginning to end. And I bet you could probably get a good answer to that.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So number two is a system to turn that demand that you've created into signed profitable contracts. In a sales process, we call this conversion rate or closing the sale. Now, how do you turn that interest? Someone who's raised their hand and say, hey, I'm a lead. How do you turn that person into someone who's actually going to open up their wallet and make some sort of financial transaction with you? That's number two.
Obviously, in any kind of endeavor, unless you close, everything else is for naught, right? So you have to find a way to have a system to convert those interested parties that are in your ideal base of customers into actual customers. So that's great.
We're moving this podcast to the front to kind of recap from the AIA show. And I kind of want to talk through some of our experiences at the AIA show. One of mine was blown away as a supplier, and obviously all the supplier of windows. I was very attracted to all the window manufacturers, but I was blown away how many different software companies there were and the virtual reality and the presentations here. And I think a key thing in our world of which software do I use to make and which CRM tool to properly set up your business. And that's a windy road that Mountain View is right in the middle of as well.
Yeah, because honestly, sometimes converting the leads into actual sales, it's a function of being able to have proper follow-up. And that's part of the integral, you know, ingredient there.
It sounds like you guys get it. And I mean, that is the key is that follow-up. And that's where some technology tools can help you. You know, it's like you said, a customer relationship management tool to help you remember when to reach out to people. This is what I tell architects. Look, here's a tip for the architects listening. What you need to do is map out your sales process. Just pull out a piece of paper and say, okay, what's the very first thing that usually happens when someone comes in contact with my firm? And they might, you know, that might be out of their control. They might say, okay, they get referred by someone, right? Well, what's the first thing that happens after that, right? A lot of times for architects, it's when someone picks up the phone and calls them. So what they need to do is they need to write down the paper, okay, phone call. Okay, boom. And then they need to figure out, okay, what's the next logical step? After someone calls me on the phone, what needs to happen? Okay, well, it probably depends on how warm or cold this person is. If it's someone who they're a past client, they've already done work before, it's going to be one process. But on the other hand, if it's a cold contact or someone who doesn't know anything about the firm, perhaps the next step is mail them out some literature about what we do. Right. So then you'd write down on the paper, okay, I'm going to mail them out some literature. And then the next thing is, okay, well, how can we grow to build that relationship of trust even more? And the architect needs to think about this and they need to develop a sales process. It might be try to set up an in-person meeting, you know, just to get to know who they are and what they're doing. And then the next step after that, you're going to have to figure that out. I'll let, you know, architects have their own system. But I will tell you one thing, and this is something that we found to be very, very true, is that most architects have a huge gap in their sales process. It's right around that part where they meet with them face to face. Here's the typical architect sales process, the way it goes. You guys may be familiar with this, right? So usually the architect will get a phone call. After that, usually what they'll do is they'll say, hey, come on in for a free consultation. We'll sit for 30 minutes and tell me about your project. And then after that, they might have a follow-up meeting, kind of clarify some of the project constraints. And then they'll say, okay, so that's two meetings. And then the third step, you know, phone call, meeting. So step number four would be what I'll do is I'll write up this proposal. I have a good idea. If I have any questions, I'll let you know. I'm going to send you the proposal. Preferably, we'll meet face to face and go over the proposal together, right? Now, the problem with that is that we are trying to, as architects, we're trying to step our clients from a meeting into a contract worth tens of thousands of dollars. Does anyone see a problem with this? You know, if you met a woman for the first time, you know, say you were not married and you were dating and you go to the date, you know, go to the bar, you're going to say, hey, you're beautiful. You're nice. You're kind. You seem like you'd be a great mother. Let's get married.
Probably not going to go over too well, yeah.
No, I know. Well, and it's one you guys, it's an analogy, I didn't make it up, you guys probably heard it before, right? But we kind of understand this intuitively in our interpersonal relationships, but for some reason when it comes to business, you know, we don't apply the same lessons that we would apply if we were courting into our business, you know? And there's that song that I love, how does it go? I need a man with a slow hand. You guys are like, no, it's an old country song. So yeah. It goes, I need a man with a slow hand. I need a man with an easy touch. Conway Twitty. Go look it up. It's good.
Yeah. There we go.
I do like that song. And I just couldn't remember the words. Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing with architects. So if we're trying to bag someone on the first date, yeah, that's what we're doing to our clients. So what we've done and what we recommend in the Architect Marketing Institute is we recommend that architects come up with some diagnostic offer. So what does that mean? It means that on that first meeting, when they meet with someone, that they actually, instead of jumping right into an actual proposal for a contract, they say, hey, wait a second, let's back up a second. As a professional, as an architect, if you went into your doctor, it would be malpractice if your doctor were to prescribe a solution without first diagnosing what the problem is. Right. So what I like to do is I have this little process that I take my clients through. We're actually going to diagnose exactly what your problems are. We're going to find out exactly all the options that you have with your project, because there might be some options you haven't even thought about before. So we call this a low commitment consultation. And what we tell architects to do is, look, you know, we work with them to develop their low commitment consultation. We say, just drop that into your sales process. And what they usually find when they do this correctly is that their conversion rate from, you know, landing clients will double or even more. They'll even say that when they use this process, they're able to win the project, even if their fees are double or triple the competing architects, which I think is pretty remarkable. So there's just I just want to throw in that little tip, because it's something that's worked well, but it deals with that second part of the profit map, which is having that process to take interest and turn it into a contract. So, yep. And I know you guys get this because you guys are pros, you know, in the business, and you've been selling and you understand how that works.
But we learn something every time, you know, that's the whole goal. Hopefully people that are listening to both of our shows on a regular basis get something out of every show. I mean, and sometimes hearing the same thing a different way can help set in a different way.
Absolutely. And one of the key things I think that we always come across is the fact that, you know, architecture is a very creative business. And a lot of times we all know we have two sides to the brain and they don't always fully function the same. So it's good sometimes for somebody who's highly creative to look at these practical business steps as a way to allow them more opportunities to be creative, quite frankly.
My call to action is to go, if you're a regular listener to The Art of Construction, is to go listen to Enoch on his podcast and vice versa. And I hope Enoch spreads the word to his group of people.
Yeah, and also on our show page, we will have links to the information that Enoch is speaking of here. So
what's number three?
Yeah, thanks, guys. I will definitely spread the word. All right. Number three is, look, after we've created the demand and we have a way to turn that demand into contracts, number three is we need a way to deliver our service as architects in an efficient way that there's not going to be a lot of mistakes, and then also scale our business. So one of the problems that small firm architects have is kind of hiring that first employee or hiring that second or third employee. There's a lot of training that needs to happen every time you bring on a new employee. I'm going to wager that there's probably 80 to 100 hours of time that needs to happen before an architect who comes into a new firm is even able to start producing documents that are relevant and that are going to be correct, right? So what does that system look like? We're talking about two things. First of all, the firm, you want to deliver what I call, or my colleague Richard Petrie calls, a remarkable client experience. And then the second thing is you need to be able to scale the firm so that you can free up your time as the business owner and not have to be in the thick of things. And if anyone listening is wondering how to get these, you know, you don't need to take notes. I'm sure you guys will have it in the show notes, but you can go to architectprofitmap.com and download this entire profit map that I'm talking about for free. There's a little shameless self-promotion there. But yeah, they can get that. And when you think about this system to deliver the service and scale your firm, what we're talking about is you need to understand your business's mission. Okay. You need to understand the vision of your business. You need to have some core values. You need to understand the job roles in your firm. And you need to understand the management structure and accountability. right? So what does a system like this looks like? Well, once you have your mission, vision, and values down, you have all your job roles down, then you can start to develop standard operating procedures or checklists of what pertains to every single job role. And so part of this process is, for instance, if there's a job role, let's say you have an admin person in the office, and one of their job duties is that they need to keep all the office supplies up to date. Well, in your firm, you should have a document that's in a centrally accessible location that tells them, okay, exactly what do they need to check for? What do they need to order, right? Well, we need to check all the printer cartridges, make sure that they're topped up. We need to check the paper, and there should be a checklist so they're not having to reinvent the wheel every time. Unfortunately, what happens in a lot of small firms, it's just kind of hit or miss. There may be a paper somewhere where people are supposed to note down what they took or what they want. And we end up losing a lot of time because we're not codifying these processes.
Yeah, I would highly recommend the eMyth Revisited, and then all the eMyth Architect Contractor we've talked about several times on the show that's really helped me scale my business, but also having perspectives from Enix business that are looking at a different way. But I think the core values of the eMyth Revisited are definitely what you're talking about, is create a systems and structure for all the different things.
And finally, number four.
Yeah, we'll touch on this real quick, which is a system to measure and maintain accountability. Now, this is something that I know a lot of firms struggle with this, but the reason why you need to have a system to measure what's happening in your business is because, who was it? Jim Rohn, I think he said, what's measured improves, or maybe Peter Drucker said that. The idea is that the more you monitor something, just by the very fact that you're monitoring it, it's going to improve.
Well said. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a cool concept, when you think about it. So what should architects be looking at, right? Well, obviously, they should be looking at their P&L every month. They should be looking at what's our profit from last month. They should be looking at their work in progress. They should be looking at how many, basically, if we weren't to bring in any more work, how long could we keep on running before our people run out of stuff to do? Okay, so that's called the WIP. A lot of the software systems out there for architects, you can run WIP reports. I think you can do that with ArchiOffice, which is a software for smaller firms. I won't get into that. The other thing that architects should be looking at is they should have an idea of what their multiplier is. That's a measurement of the efficiency of their firm. They can take a look at their utilization rate. So all of these things they'll be able to find in the profit map. But if you don't understand those key performance indicators, then you're not going to be able to know where you are. You're not going to be able to hold your people accountable. And then the last thing I want to add to that, and I'd be interested to know what your guys' thoughts are on this, because I know you guys run an organization, but I'm a big fan of holding people accountable for metrics and not for specific deliverables. So what I mean by that is some firm owners like to micromanage everything. They like to look at a very granular level and try to figure out what's happening here, this detail, what's happening here. The way I prefer to run a management business, or tell people to run it and run it myself, is that we will give people responsibility for certain results. Okay, I'm not going to mandate the way someone does something. Look, I want you to deliver this project in 2 months. Can you commit to do that? Yes or no? Yes, I can. Okay, boom. So in our management meetings, we're just going to talk about, okay, you committed to this 2 months. Are you still on track to meet that? Yes, I am. Boom. Okay, good to go. So there you go. That's number four, the system to measure and maintain accountability.
Awesome. 10 minutes. You nailed it, man.
That's awesome.
That was phenomenal.
And I'm curious, what do you guys use? How do you maintain accountability and measurement with your business?
Well, I'm going to start by specific story as far as yesterday, as I was looking through all the things when you're talking about measure and maintain, is I've grown and scaled my business to where on my day-to-day life, I'm the one, I always say, working on the business, where I have really good people like Kevin that are working in the business. And that's, I think, really has a lot of parallels when you listen to The Art of Construction, because I'm talking from the owner's perspective, talking away, and then Kevin will listen and understand and circle that stuff back. But yesterday I had my in-house IT guy, which is a recent hire and a whole nother story that we talk about on another show. I was looking at the metrics, and we had all of our pipelines and all of our stuff was pulling over the exact data. What I mean by that is it was taking everything to the exact penny. And on your forecasting, all that stuff, I had him round everything up to the nearest dollar. Things like that sound like, well, why would you even talk about that? But time is money, and as you get to that level, but now begin with the end in mind, that's where we're at today, developing our own CRM tool that back to my mention of the AIA, it's really hard when you're running a certain thing today and to go to the National AIA show and meet with 10 different software people and they want you to change and throw out all the systems and start from scratch. We chose a software called Method, and the reason we did is that 4 years ago I bought a little window and door company that only thing they did was QuickBooks from the invoice on, and I scaled my company from that. And we chose Method is because everything synced in and out of QuickBooks that we didn't have to double transfer all the data, which was a big thing for me, and now we're trying to build off of that. But the Method is the software that we use for our day-to-day business. But then, and we started by using a consulting firm, but it was taking so long to get stuff done that I had an intern and in-house. We now are able to manage that. So it's for a small company like ours, it's really cool to where we can have the flexibility to do what we need to do within a system that we didn't officially start from scratch, to kind of have some backbones to that. So that's how Mountain View Window and Door runs our day-to-day business.
Very cool. And that's, I hadn't heard of Method before, so I'll definitely check that out. Sounds very cool that it integrates with QuickBooks, which is something that I know a lot of architects use.
No, absolutely.
So that's very
absolutely
cool.
Absolutely. Well, give us a little bit of a feel for just general impressions. I mean, no, you don't have a lot of time. You've got to run to some meetings and so forth, but give us a little bit of background or you kind of your recap of the AIA convention in Philadelphia just last week.
All right. Yeah. The great, great question. Look, people often ask me, you know, Enoch, should I go to these live events? You know, is it worth my time? Here's what I find. I find that maybe 10% of the sessions I go to are pretty dang good. A lot of them, they're decent. You know, the whole reason why I go to these events, guys, is to meet people. If you think about it this way, look, as an entrepreneur, and you guys probably identify this with this, but like, I feel like a fish out of water among people in my hometown, among my family members. Frankly, they just don't understand me because I just think differently. As an entrepreneur, you know, I'm like this square peg trying to be put in a round hole. And so what I find when I go to live events is I find other people that are sort of like my tribe, right? So it's an opportunity for me to go and to meet people that understand me. And that is just so refreshing. But not only that, but to meet other people that I can learn from, people that are at the top of their game, you know, people who I am humbled to meet. I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room, and fortunately, I'm not normally, which is great. But I want to be in positions where situations where I'm the dumbest guy in the room, and I have something to learn from other people. So just as an example, at the recent AI convention, I met this fine lady named Ava Abramowitz. She is an attorney. She does mediation. She used to be on the AI general board. And I spent some time with her on Thursday, and just that one experience of talking with her literally blew my mind because of the knowledge and the expertise that she's had. She's been doing this for years and years and years. And she wrote this book called, I think it's called Negotiating for Architects, Architects Essentials on Negotiation or something like that, published by Wiley. The reason why I bring up that one instance is that for me, it's all about the people, guys. Unfortunately, we didn't get to talk a whole lot there, but I could tell that you guys were some guys that it would be fun to sit around a table with and chat with. So for me, that's what it's about, Kevin. It's just having those, you know, meeting cool people. And I did that. Fortunately, I was blessed to be able to book my schedule full of meeting really cool, passionate people.
That's awesome.
Love it. Well, we have to respect your time, and you gave us a deadline, so we're going to end that. But the last thing, as a learning organization, if there's the one thing you want to leave behind for contractors and architects listening to this, what's the one book, experience, or thing you would want to tell them?
You have to understand your mission in life, and it needs to translate into what you do. It wasn't until I understood what I really, my mission, what I wanted to do, that like the fire was lit under my rear end and my life was filled with passion. Okay. So, and for me, that is helping other architects grow their business and find more success. Okay. That's what lights my fire. That's what I feel like I have a mission here to do. So what I would encourage people to do is take a look at what they're doing, whether it's serving architectural clients, whether it's working with homeowners, whether it's working with organizations, and really figure out, okay, I'm not just delivering a building. What am I doing, right? If you're building homes, then how are you affecting those people's lives? Are you creating a place where they can enjoy graduations, where they can enjoy birthdays, where they can have family get-togethers? Is that your mission, to enrich people's lives in that way? Or if you're an architect and you do healthcare facilities, is your mission to create exceptional operating rooms or MRI rooms where people can have the lives of their loved ones saved or live out their last days in relative dignity? That's my one tip.
Excellent stuff. Appreciate it.
Yeah, figure out your why, and you know that's what needs to get you up in the morning.
Love it. Well, thanks for coming in, and look forward to working with each other and growing each other's podcasts.
Absolutely. Guys, I love where you're going with that. Devin, look forward to doing that. You guys have a wonderful rest of your day.
All right. Cheers, all right, man.
Thanks. Wow, it sounds like he knows a couple of things there for architects to help their business, doesn't he, Devin?
There's just no substitute to a podcast. Like, we got to meet Enoch, and I didn't get to talk to him quite as much as you did, as we were at the Entree Architect podcast event. And I think that's where
exactly.
you talked to him at a little bit more in length. But we turned the mic off, and it was kind of like mic drop, like, wow, how cool. I'm excited to be going back. I'm going to go back to the beginning and listen to all his podcasts from the beginning and really get up to speed on the business of architecture. And I challenge him to spread the word and have the same. When we talk about how scaling and growing your business, we're real world people here, because you can sit and I loved his 4-part story. But it takes time to put it all together. Just like The Art of Construction, if you go back and listen to the first show, the audio is horrible. We were figuring it out. We were working through it. I was a horrible speaker. I'm such an emotional guy. I shed tears on a lot of the beginning shows, and working through that and trying to do all the audio myself. And now I'm sitting in our studio MVWD with Billy, who does all the editing behind the scenes. And now I don't have to worry about all these quirky buttons and stuff. And Billy just says, yep, go, and lets me know. And all that stuff is just so cool. But trust me, that didn't happen by itself. And it's also your tribe. Kevin just went for it and said, let's do this, right? And we didn't know where it was going. But Kevin, give me your 2 cents of the AIA convention and how you thought it went. And thanks to Todd Redding with the Shred Venture Group of allowing us to be a sponsor and be part of that of their event, to say, we got to go face to face and meet these people and really grow our business like we talk on The Art of Construction.
It's kind of along the same lines of what Enoch was talking about in terms of your tribe. I mean, it's a large portion of what we're doing here on The Art of Construction, which is talking to architects, contractors about business-related items, and these people are all like-minded, which is great. So you have an opportunity to hear new ideas, see things in action. And like you described before, you know, there's a lot of things for an architecture firm to think about in terms of running a business on the one hand. On the other hand, the real issue is 1 foot forward. Take one step at a time and keep moving forward to achieve those goals and activities. And that's the kind of thing for us at the show, was just an opportunity for us to meet some of these people, learn some things that they're doing, and exchange ideas. And that's really what it's all about. It's very much like what Enoch was talking about in the show. And it's just an exchange of ideas and thoughts that we can all use.
Yeah, and I would definitely say that's why we went to the AA convention, was to really solidify and get more relationships, just like he was talking about. And I loved his 4 parts. It all starts with demand. And sometimes I'm telling my team at Mountain View, when I started as the one guy, good is good enough. But you got to be careful on where good is good enough and extraordinary is the only thing that qualifies. And you got to start with the demand. If you don't have demand, you don't have a business. You got to go out there and set up that demand and then put good systems and structure in place with the contracts and then deliver and check those. And it's so fun when you put it in those steps, because now that's where Mountain View is where I am the one truly working on the business, and I'm lucky enough to have such a great team behind me that they trust me and I trust them. Though I'm out there fighting for the Mountain View family, but I do have systems and structure that I can measure and maintain.
Well, and the one thing I really liked about what Enoch talked about was the whole idea of maintaining and growing relationships. You know, that's such a critical component. It's that way in our business too. And it's a function of trying to utilize technology, leverage that technology to free up our time. Because the one thing we all have in common is we all have the same amount of hours in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year. And the reality is, the better we can do at some of those things to allow time to nurture those relationships, grow those relationships, it's going to help our businesses. But it's not something that happens organically. You got to work on it.
So we're big product guys. We spent a whole day on the showroom floor at the National Convention of the AIA show, give me the first three things that come to mind from touring the event.
Just the overall scale. I mean, the massive numbers of companies that were exhibiting there. I mean, it took us 3.5 hours to go from one end of the showroom space to the end, or of the convention space to the other end.
And then start over again to recoup it all.
Exactly. So, I mean, just the innovation of things that are out there, just mind-blowing. And like you talked about during the show, one thing that was really surprising was just the sheer numbers of architectural software programs that are out there. Everything from 3D gaming type experiences to just the everyday drawing and that kind of thing. I mean, all over the place, just everywhere.
My top takeaway as a window and door guy was that every window manufacturer had not just a pivot door, they were all 4.0, 10.0s. And then the sheer scale of how big everything, and it's, I guess to toot my horn, I'm on Anderson's advisory council, and it's like everything I've been telling them as funny, putting the mic on and listening to your architects with the Art of Construction, it was huge, massive pieces of glass, which one of the manufacturers had showing a display of how big their glass can be now, and with the new equipment they're putting in, how much bigger it can get. It was all about how big in technologies with glass and all of the different reflectives and things they can do with glass and technology was my big takeaway. But the contemporary designs are definitely here, and every booth showed those to the full extent.
Absolutely.
Well, it was fun to get to meet a lot of you listeners out there in person, and we'll definitely be putting it on the calendar again for next year. So if you want to reach out to us and get to know us, if you want to be a guest, or hopefully you spread the word. And Enoch, thanks for taking the time in your busy schedule as we're all coming back. And you got to keep fighting to make time to work on your business and not just be in the business.
Yeah, some great insights I think all the architects listening can really utilize in their business every day.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.